I've used this once before. It was years, or a couple of years ago, I guess. It's amazing to me the examples that God has put in my life and the people who have actually influenced me to be what I am today. There have been silent examples. There have been very elaborate examples. But there are very influential people who have been engrafted in my life who have helped me become the person I am today. It was God's hand all along, but God uses people. He uses other men, other women, other boys or girls to put them in our path that it may help us along life's way. And this room is filled. I'll tell you, Brother Ray Evans, I mentioned it Wednesday night, done an outstanding job. And one thing he mentioned at the close of his devotion and his testimony Tuesday night, he said, I don't have to look into the Bible tonight to see those heroes of faith. He said that he could just look around in that gymnasium, around those tables, about those men. He said, and I see plenty of heroes. Man, that's amazing. Early one morning, I was on my way, I believe it was to Coppers. I was going over there where they treat those light poles across from the airport. And I was following behind my pastor at the time, Reedy Severance. And I was a couple of cars back, kind of, you know, how you do with your pastor sometimes. You keep a low key, low profile. Don't want him to maybe see you at the time. And he was driving that old Dodge Ram pickup. You couldn't mistake it because it was a truck in such good shape. But it was one that Brother Gary Prosser had. He was driving it. And Brother Reedy, always notorious for his cowboy hat. Don't know if he had it on that morning or not, but it sounds good anyhow. He was driving down the road. He had no clue I was behind him a couple of cars back. And I assume he was probably on the way. He's done many works in his life. He's pastored here 2 tenures. He helped marry me and Leslie, he and Brother Norwood Gibson. Was my pastor for 9 years here in his second tenure. And had a wonderful wife, Miss Edra. There was only one of them. Edra was such a special lady. I thank God for Miss Annie. Wonderful lady. How a man can be so blessed to have two great women, I don't know. Amen. But Preacher Reedy was going down the road, and this car near about run him off the road, cut him off. I seen the whole thing, person. And I just thought for just a moment, the old man in me, thought for just a minute, I said, Preacher Reedy's going to raise his hand, but I wonder just how many fingers he's going to lift. It was just the old man in me. I said, because on his best day, he's just a man. But then he raised his hand, and all 5 fingers went up. And he waved at that person, and I could just see him smiling from ear to ear. I've seen other people, for a lot less, tell you very elaborately that you're number one in their life at that moment. And it is a bad hand gesture. And some of you, it's the only sign language you know. And I just thought for just 1 minute, I said, I bet he's going to let them have it. But he didn't. You say, well, preacher, that's a good story. What's it got to do with tonight? There's not a time that I stand at the threshold of road rage, because I get it. Because I feel like in my early life, I've paid enough money in to the government that a part of the fast lane is mine. And if you drive in that lane, then you're violating not only the law, but my space. And when people pull out, like they did that day, just to make a turn right back off, why couldn't they have waited? And I believe that we should put new bumpers on our cars and we should be able to ram them just a little bit. Just enough to let them know it, because they're never going to learn otherwise. But for us to help them. But every time I get to that point, do you know now that every time I get to the point to where I get to thinking, I say, boy, I'm just going to let them have it. Because that ain't right. I think about him. I do. I think about the example that Preacher Reedy set before me that day. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing we need to really just let sink in for a moment. He had no clue that I was watching. But what he did because he loved the Lord. That's the only thing that could have stopped him that day. But I thank God for that example in him, because it even is in my life today. When I'm riding down the road and I have those people who cut me off or pull out in front of me, I think about Preacher Reedy. I said, if he was man enough to do it, I'm going to take his example and I'm going to apply it to my life. And so far, I've held up to my end of the deal. And I thank God for that example. I want to show you an example tonight, and I just want to read Scripture tonight. In John chapter 13, verse 1. Now next Sunday night, we will be partakers in this. I'm not going to preach on this and take away from next Sunday night, but I want to give you an example of an example. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now I want you to think just for a minute, because I'm not going to preach much on this text, so I want to explain to you as we go. It says that His hour had now came to depart out of the world. He knows that He's about to die. Imagine you in the same situation. You feel like the end of your life has come. What would you be doing? And it says, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into his heart of Judas Iscariot, which of course was Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth up from supper and laid aside His garment, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? He asked. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. All ye are clean, but not all. He was making reference to Judas Iscariot, because Satan had already entered into his heart. For he knew he should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? He asked the question. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amazing story, isn't it, church? I want to bring a couple of things to your attention. In everything that Jesus Christ did, He was consistent. Though He had the same temptations that you and I share today, He was an example. He was one that we could base our lives upon. And I want to bring to your attention where the Bible says that he got up. So you see the story in the upper room that night. He gets up. He doesn't say a word. With a silent act, with this example before these disciples, he knows his hour has come to die. But yet, he says, listen, if I would have been the Son of God, I would have tried to have done something, I believe, much more elaborate. I would have done something that I would have thought would have been maybe more rememberable. Something that these people could have kind of go out with a bang, so to speak. But of all things that Jesus Christ did, of all things that Jesus Christ could have done that night, he, for the first time, sets in place before he dies and goes to the cross. He says, I'm going to wash their feet. Why? Because in verse 1, the Bible says that his hour had come. But look at the last part. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Why did Jesus, why was he so consistent? Yes, he was there to do the Father's will, but he loved those who were with him. He held them in high esteem, of high regard. He loved these men. These men were his apprentice. They were the ones that he trained. Everything, the whole early church, is hanging in the balance based upon these 12 ordinary men who God himself made extraordinary. None of them, yes, many of them were skillful, but he took ordinary men and he loved them. And in his time of departure, he said, I am going to do something before I leave. And it's amazing to me how he left with this impression. And it was to humble himself and wash their feet. I'm thankful that Matthew and Teddy, instead of the unity count on their wedding, they're going to wash one another's feet. I like that. I wish I could have thought of that, but I did. I can't claim it. But I'm going to be excited to be a part of that. And I see where Jesus himself got up from supper, took his garments off, put a towel around his waist, walked there, and began to wash his disciples' feet. Can I bring to your attention this? He washed the feet of the man who was going to kiss him on the next day or that evening. Kiss him on the cheek and betray him. Could you do that? Without saying a word, he knew that Satan had entered into Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. But he took his garments off and washed his. He also got to Peter, the one who always had the loud, big mouth. He said, Lord, you don't want to wash my feet, because he felt like it was an insult to God. He had the high esteem for Jesus Christ. He said, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, I'll have no part of you. He said, well, Lord, don't stop there then. But Jesus washed Peter's feet, argued with Peter in order to wash his feet, knowing that Peter would soon, in hours to come, deny him three times before the cock would crow. But Jesus Christ washed his feet also. To be a Christian example, you cannot base your actions upon how people treat you or look at you. You base them because you love them like you love yourself. You treat them like you want to be treated and not the way you are treated. I want to share with you a story. Jesus set an example. And he also, in this, do you realize where Jesus tells them, in John chapter 13, where he saith unto them that happy are ye if you do these things in verse 17. What is he trying to put in place? What is he implementing in their lives just before he goes to the cross? This example. He is not only telling them that they'll be happy if they wash one another's feet, but they'll be happy if they take the example and the examples that he set before them and do them to others. The happiness that it brings one to be an example for Jesus Christ. How satisfying, how gratifying it is to live a life like Jesus Christ. And how satisfying it is for your life to impact other people's life, that they may also follow Jesus Christ because of your actions, because of the example you set. Jay Kessler, which wrote the book 10 Mistakes Parents Make with Teenagers, described a conversation he had with a young lady at a Youth for Christ summer camp. This particular camp was in Ohio, and after one of the services, some kids came down to the altar, and one young woman was having a difficult time. So the counselors asked me if I would speak to her. We sat down in the front row of the chapel, and through many tears, her heartbreaking story began to unfold. She had been molested by her own father 3 times a week since she was 4 years old. She had never told anyone about this and carried a great sense of guilt as though she were to blame for her father's actions. As she told me the story, I noticed that both of her wrists were scarred. "Tell me about your wrist," I said. "Well, I tried to kill myself." Jay asked her, "Why didn't you do it?" Killing yourself is relatively simply a simple thing if you really want to do it. If it is just a bid for attention, the attempt is usually feeble. She said, "Well, I got to thinking. We have a youth pastor at our church." "Oh no," I thought. "No, I'm going to hear an ugly story about her getting involved with some youth pastor." But that wasn't it at all. She said he had just gotten married before he came to our church, and I've been watching him. When he's standing in line in the church behind his wife, he squeezes her right in the church. They look at each other and they hug each other right in our church. One day I was standing in the pastor's study looking out the window, and the youth pastor walked his wife out into the parking lot. Now there were only one car in the parking lot. Nobody else was around. Nobody else was looking. And that guy walked all the way around the car and opened the door and let her in. Then he walked all the way around and got himself in, and there was nobody even looking. That was a nice story, but I couldn't make a connection between that and her problem of incest and attempt to suicide. So I asked why this seemed so significant to her, and she said, "Well, I just got to thinking that all men must not be like my dad." And I said, "You're right, all men are not like your father." "Jay, do you suppose that our youth pastor's a Christian?" "Yes," I said, "I think he probably is." "Well, that's why I came tonight, because I want to be a Christian too." Why did she want to be a Christian? Because she saw a man being affectionate and respectful to his wife when he thought nobody else was looking. That is a power of a consistent life. The only way that we will reach a dying, lost world, the only way that we will help our fellow brethren who are in a time of need will be because we led a consistent Christian life, even when we don't feel like anyone else is looking. This girl was changed. This is a true story. And many of us have been impacted by the example that others have led before us. even when they didn't know we were watching. It has changed our lives. And I want to ask you this question tonight in closing. I want you to ask yourself this question, rather. Are you the kind of father that you want your son to be? Moms, are you the kind of mother that you want your daughters to be? Christians, are you the kind of believer that you want your lost neighbor to become? The answer to that question is up to you. But our example does impact others. Our example may very well be the reason he or she believes that there is hope. And in this time of dedication tonight for this child, and we dedicate the parents to take care and nurture and bring up in the admonition of the Lord, it will be because there was an example in their lives, whether it be he or she. And many times our children grow up in a home to where an example was set, and halfway through their life, the parents now decide to get saved. And they now decide to take on this consistent example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tears their children's minds apart because their kids are in utter chaos. They don't know which way to live. They don't know which way to go. This is what you taught me for all those years, and now you're asking me to do this. But you know one thing tonight, church? It is never too late to live a consistent Christian life. And listen to me, parents who have already raised your kids, and you did not serve the Lord Jesus Christ in your days. Can I tell you that He is a sovereign God, and that He is a God who forgives and who loves and who thought it best in His last hours to wash the feet of His disciples instead of doing something else? He humbled Himself and washed their feet, even the foot of one who Satan had already entered into, who would soon commit suicide because he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He said, I love you anyhow. And in God's sovereignty and in God's mercy, He takes us who have already lived our lives, who may sit here tonight with a bucket of regrets. And He says, listen to me. Could you imagine sometime why we have all these youth? It may very well be because our God is an extraordinary God, and He's a multitasker. He works in many ways. And you realize that this may or may not apply to you, but those young people who now have an opportunity to watch you live your life, especially those of you who have lived your life and you did not raise your children in a Christian home, they may very well be tonight living out in a world of sin and you feel like you're the one to blame. Can I tell you, it is never too late. As long as there is life and breath in you, our God still has an extended hand ready and willing to welcome you into His fold and for you to be an example to everyone, every child, every kid who is watching you, even when you don't realize. Tonight, we have an altar call. I want to make a ready invitation. We're just going to play something tonight. We're not going to sing. I want to give you an opportunity in this service, as you examine your example. Tonight, we all could do a better job. That goes without saying. I could always do a better job. But you know, maybe tonight we need to come and pray for some consistency in our example. especially in those times when we don't think no one else is watching. I don't know about you, but I am fearful of our children. I talked with a brother this past week. He said, "Mike, I don't know if I want to have any more kids." He said, because of the world they're going to have to live in. It is on a downward spiral, and it is moving faster than I ever could have imagined. But let me tell you, the only rock solid thing they're going to have to hold on to, and can I tell you, church, His name is Jesus Christ. And it is our responsibility as God's men and women to live and lead a consistent Christian life, not just for us, but for them. So that one day, when they stand in our places and they're preaching and they're teaching and they're ushering and they're cleaning up around the church and they're sending out birthday cards and they're sending out letters of encouragement, they will be prompted to pursue God's will in their life because they saw it done in your life. That will they will need that more than we ever did. Because in the days of darkness and everything looks dim and you don't have a church on every corner, you don't have a Christian who's standing at the line. I notice now more and more when I stand and talk in public, you don't have the gathering like you used to have. You don't have the people who are working at the grocery stores who have this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have it. There used to be a fear of God in our public. There is no more. They don't know Jesus. They don't care to know Jesus. They don't fear His name because they don't know who He is. He was just a man who come and died. He's still in the grave far as they're concerned. It is up to us as consistent Christians to live and lead an example life because one day they will need it more than we ever did before. And it will be based upon, they will receive that hope of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the example they saw in you. And I want this church not only to be a success in this day, but I always want it to be an example. Not to all the other churches. Because, friend, I hate to tell you this, but there are some bull-headed, stubborn, thick-headed people in this world. And there are some people, there are some churches who need what God has done in our midst. But they will never do it because they're too prideful. They're too prideful to give in and say they're wrong and God is right. They will never give in. They will never be an example. They will never be a model church for God's people, for the future of the Lord Jesus Christ. People will soon forget about Him and continue to wash His name and dilute it unless we as a church continue to stand. It was because of those men who sat in the upper room that night. It was because of the example they saw in Him that they passed out through all of the early church. And they were a church that was thriving and growing and moving in spite of all of the adversity. You think we've got adversity? They had persecution beyond our imagination. They had it a lot worse than we do, church. We think it's bad. They had it bad. These people were crucified. They were beheaded. But they were willing to suffer for His name's sake. And I am willing and ready to let this world know that He's not just a man. I don't serve a baby in a manger. I don't serve a boy in a temple. I don't serve a lamb that is slain upon a cross. I don't serve a man that is dead in the tomb. But I serve the Son of God who now sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for every Christian believer. And when I look at Him in that light and I see Him like John saw Him from the Isle of Patmos and that revelation that we call Revelations, he saw Him in the glorified form and he fell dead at His feet. And too many times we think that God is just some man or some baby or someone who is crucified upon the cross. No, it's because of what He done. It's because of the example He give us that we are able to stand and be bold and be unashamed about the gospel that He left those 12 men in that upper room. Yes, one betrayed Him. Yes, one denied Him. But we are a product of their example. We serve a risen Savior who stands in a glorified body. And when we look at Him in that light, we should take upon a different respect and fear God and love God and say, God, tonight, I want You. And listen, it's an intervention. He has to intervene in your life. But He comes into your life and He sets in you and He lives in you and He works through you and He makes an example. And people are able, this is what just thrills my soul, that people see Jesus through me. Not just His example, but Jesus Christ. He lives in me. And I have the wonderful privilege in my workplace, riding down the road, even though they pull out in front of me, to show them Jesus. You know what Brother Reedy said that day? He didn't say, talk to the hand. He said, I'm going to show you Jesus. Amen. Because He was an example. And oh my time. Church, we are His body. And in that body that was patented, in the womb of Mary, He patented enough. And He says, I just want to live it. I want to live through it so that the world might know. And I crown it a great honor through persecution. Church, you say, Mac, you don't know. You don't know. All I can tell you is what I believe in my heart. I believe that I would stand in front of a church who loves God as well as an angry mob who says, renounce Him. And I stand before them and say, never. Never. If it is my life, then I should also be like my Savior and be obedient unto the death. And church, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe you're that kind of Christian, then you're not consistent. You're not willing to be consistent. But I want to tell you, there was a day in my life I was a Christian and I were not consistent. I would move with the tide. Whatever seemed to work well in my friends and in the events I were taking. But I boldly declare that I am saved by the best consistent example that this world and heaven has ever seen. And God, may You create in me a heart and a mind that will serve You without waiting. And especially when no one else is watching. Because have you noticed? Seems like there's always somebody watching. And it is when you present yourself as His example, unconsciously, when you're not thinking, they watch you, and that is when they'll learn from you the most. Do you know that people look at me and they say, well, that's his job to preach. But when they're watching me is through the week when I'm just doing my normal living. Never be found not being consistent. That little girl got saved, or that young lady got saved, rather. Because that youth pastor wasn't like her daddy. Be you. Be all you can be. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that your children, right now, can be all that they can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this world, even though they will never admit it, will need that example more so in the days to come than maybe ever. Stand in the gap. Be his man. Be his woman. And bow to no one but the Lord Jesus Christ.